It's episode 71 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, get hard! It's our 2015 summer movie preview.
Hey, this is a PG-rated podcast. You know, calm down, buddy. I know it's been a while, but...
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or click on over to iTunes or YouTube and subscribe. And it has been a while. It's been quite a while since we did an episode.
Nothing has really come out of note.
Yeah, nothing really coming out. Just a lot of movies that we don't give a crap about. Furious 7 came out.
Fast and Furious bullshit.
I mean, those movies are like a juggernaut. Like, they just keep making more and more money. It's insane.
Well, and to be fair, this one did get really pretty good, solid reviews.
Yeah.
But just not in my... I mean, past the second one, I haven't seen any of them, and I just don't care to.
I saw Fast 5 almost on a dare, and I didn't really like it. Like, I was just like, it's not my movie. It's not my kind of movie. I just don't do those movies.
You know, and depending on my mood, I'll see kind of any movie, but...
Right.
It's just that these movies, not only themselves, but they've been done before and before mm-hmm. and before, and they just start cannibalizing on themselves after a while, and then just trying to one up themselves, like, oh, he's going through skyscrapers,
yeah,
like, all right,
now he's going to space,
all right, no, that's Machete.
So yeah, so Fast and Furious 7 is pretty much the only big release that's come out,
neither of us saw.
Neither of us saw that, but it's making a huge bank anyway. I guess they did it without us. We were going to talk about Get Hard on our next episode, but now it's been out for so long, it's like, it's still in theaters.
Yeah.
But it's almost become like a moot point.
To be fair, we say it's been out a long time, but to a lot of people that wait to see movies...
That's you know, true.
It's true. Just because we see every movie opening weekend.
That's true. Or before that.
Yeah.
So we decided that we were going to do our 2015 summer movie preview this week, mainly because Entertainment Weekly's issue came out, so, you know, might as well go with the big dogs, run with the big dogs. But some news in the movie world, Daredevil premiered this week.
Technically, that's not the movie world.
Whatever. It's kind of... So, that's TV, whatever. So, we talked about TV, too. If you'll recall, we did a whole episode about House of Cards and Empire 2 episodes ago. So Daredevil premiered on Netflix, and because Dirty A and I have no lives, we watched all of it.
Yeah, we're done with that.
We went to go see a movie today, which we saw Noah Baumbach's While We're Young, which we'll talk about in a future episode, but they showed a commercial for Daredevil.
We're like, old news.
Yeah, Dirty A's like, over it. It's already done. Keep going. And we will also be discussing Daredevil in a future episode in depth. We're waiting for Matt King to catch up to us. Slowpoke. And but overall impression, Daredevil is excellent.
Yeah, it's the really good show. It's very solid.
It's the best superhero show out there, I would say. And in some ways, in the first few episodes, it out Batman Begins. Batman Begins. I felt it's an excellent show. But I did feel it lost a little steam towards the end. I don't know if that's because I watched it all the way through in one day, basically.
Yeah, we can talk about that when we, you know, get a full podcast on that.
But yeah, the merits.
You can easily pick it apart if you'd like to.
Yeah.
But it's a really good show.
It is. The cast is phenomenal.
Yes, it is the best of its kind, but... A lot of that you got to chalk up to the fact of it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
They don't have to deal with, you know, the networks.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know.
And it doesn't look like a network show either. It looks like a film. I mean, it looks like a movie.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to AKA Jessica Jones, which should probably be called Alias, but there's that Jennifer Garner show that they can't use it. So that's the next one. We don't know when that's coming out yet, though. Probably, hopefully at the end of the year, but it'll probably be early next year.
I bet it's next year.
So that's Daredevil. We'll be talking about that. We'll have Matt King on and discuss it.
Maybe.
He said he saw the first 2 episodes so far, and he said he loves it so
light,
far.
Lightweight. It is a full, by the way, it is a full 13-episode season.
Yes.
It was released.
Yes. He also has children, so he has
priorities, man.
In other news.
Sit them right there with you.
Yeah.
Daredevil.
Yeah. It is most definitely not for kids. In fact, I guess it is TVMA, right? But they were even saying, they're like, oh, it's PG-13. I'm like, that's not PG-13. A lot of that's R violence.
But that, anyway. That said, though, it's not like gore. It's not crazy gore.
No, I actually wanted him to do some more arm and leg breaking that he didn't do. But anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk about it
later. In other news, Lucasfilm and Disney finally released Star Wars on digital release. That's a big deal for somebody like me.
In case you've never seen it, Star Wars before.
That's a big deal for me, I guess, because I never bought the Blu-ray. So it's like I can either... Maybe the Blu-rays are going on sale now.
Right. I'm a, you know, me, huge Star Wars nut. Both of us are. But to me, this was just like whatever news. I mean, because I have the Blu-rays and I'm just like, you know what, this is...
Well, somebody said that. I saw somebody say that online. They're like, well, who the hell's going to buy this? And I'm like, you know what, who's going to buy it? Parents who have kids who have an iPad, you know, so it's like, so they can watch Star Wars whenever they want now. Yeah. To be totally honest, folks, if you're going to go buy it, you're better off just buying the whole damn thing, because each movie is $20. And then I think the whole thing is 80 or 90 or something like that. So you're better off just buying the whole thing, even if you hate the prequels.
Of course. But again, if you don't own Star Wars yet, I would venture you're someone who's not going to own Star Wars the thing.
Yeah. There's still a belief out there that Disney will release the original Star Wars, and there's still hope that that's going to happen. We were just discussing it before.
It's an old hope.
Yeah, it is an old hope. Shut up. We were discussing it right before we started recording, and we kind of came up with a hypothesis that that'll possibly come out after episode 9, maybe.
Because we were talking about it, and it's they're certainly within over the next, you know, year period of this month, they're not going to release it right on the heels of this digital release, because they don't want to cannibalize their sales,
right?
So it'll be a while
unless they release them in, like, because remember when they did that when they did release them on DVD, where they were the pulls from the Laserdisc, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it was like a special set, basically. Like, you had to buy the special edition, but you got the original as the bonus. Maybe they'll do something like that, where they just do one Blu-ray release of the originals on Blu-ray. One set. They won't sell them separately. One set. Here you go. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Whenever they do it, you know, they've already sold their copy to me. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, yeah. They should do like the sneakers do, like when all these athletes release their sneakers, because like my partner at work, she's really into that. Like, she collects sneakers and stuff like that. And they, I mean, it's crazy. Like, they release like a limited amount and stuff like that. Like, if they did that for like Star Wars.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. And like, if they did that for like Star Wars, like the originals, there'd be people like with knives and shit. Like, oh, it's mine, Kevin. But anyway, that's the Star Wars to come. So let's.
And actually, that. Is it next week starts the week following week starts the Star Wars Celebration
in
Anaheim.
Yeah, where the next trailer will be released and probably show up online shortly thereafter. And when I say that, I mean officially. I think the days of like leaking trailers is kind of
dead. They know better.
As soon as
they air it at the Celebration, they will throw it online.
Yeah,
there's no need to not.
They've kind of finally caught on to that, movie studios. So we should be seeing a new trailer any day now, probably. But if you want to go see it in the theater, it will be attached to Avengers, which comes out on the 1st of May. I'm expecting we'll probably also see Ant-Man, the next trailer for Ant-Man. Entertainment Weekly released a photo of...
What is this, a superhero for ants?
Entertainment Weekly released a photo of... Corey Stoll as Yellowjacket.
Yellowjacket. He looked pretty. He looked good.
Fighting. Yeah, his suit looks cool.
It didn't look. What's the word I want to use? I guess gimmicky. I thought that was going to be a hard sell for me, because I thought that could easily look really stupid.
Yeah.
But no, they made it look really cool.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah.
And then he's fighting Ant-Man, who of course is like as big as his pinky, so that's pretty cool. So I'm interested to see Ant-Man, to see what happens. But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's first talk about Get Hard. We were supposed to talk about this weeks ago. But Get Hard is the first collaboration between Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. And we're not really going to spend a ton of time on it. You can read my review if you want on the site. Yeah. But
I mean, honestly, there's not just really not. There's not much worth in spending a ton of time.
There really isn't, because
it's a funny movie.
Yeah,
it's not great. There's nothing really new or fresh per se about it.
No, there really isn't.
But you'll still laugh.
Yeah,
you will laugh. Will Ferrell is doing his Will Ferrell shtick, and Kevin Hart is funny.
Yeah, Will Ferrell plays an ignorant,
a white collar, business guy.
Yeah, rich white
guy.
Yeah, rich white asshole who gets framed for fraud and embezzlement, and he basically, in his ignorance, turns to Kevin Hart, who is basically the only black guy he knows, and he says, "Prepare me for prison."
Right.
And of course, Kevin Hart's character is like a hardworking guy. He's never been to prison.
He's just a blue collar worker
trying to get his
because he's black. Will Ferrell's character assumes he's been in prison.
So he basically, Kevin Hart basically embraces every stereotype that he thinks Will Ferrell's character has and quote-unquote trains him for prison. There's an awful lot of focus, and this was basically brought up with critics and stuff like that. There's a lot of focus on prison rape and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And people claim the film's homophobic. I didn't see it that way because they never make fun of gay people
I think, if anything, it's more of a satire. It's,
yeah.
They're not making fun of it. They're making fun of those who make fun of it.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to break it to everybody, but people don't want to get raped in general. So, and getting raped in prison is not fun either.
No.
Especially when you're stuck there and you have nowhere to go.
And it's the oldest stereotype in the book.
Yeah,
when it comes to prison,
right.
So, I mean, yes, of course that's going to be used.
But I will say they did beat that to death, and it did become those jokes were actually the least funny of the movie.
Yeah.
The funnier stuff is when he was doing other prison stuff like stabbings and stuff like that. That was the funny stuff. But eventually,
I don't know, Hiden shifts up his ass.
But
how many of these would you say have been up your ass?
All of them.
I gotta wash my hands.
So, it's a funny movie. It has its moments. Alison Brie is kind of wasted in it as Will Ferrell's fiance. Craig T. Nelson looks like he's sleepwalking through it.
I mean, this is one of those movies where the focus is so much, rightfully so, the way it's these movies like this are designed on this on Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell.
Right.
Any other character is completely ancillary and will be wasted.
Right.
Whoever you put in those roles.
Yeah. But, catch it on cable when it comes on. You know, there's no need to rush out to the theater.
There's a dollar theater, maybe.
Yeah.
At this point, might as well wait a couple months. A few months, I guess. A
couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, but it is, it is funny. You'll laugh.
Yeah.
Assuming you like that kind of raunchy comedy.
Yeah, if you don't like Will Ferrell or Kevin Hart, you're probably going to
hate it. You'll hate this movie,
But, we like Will Ferrell, and he's a funny guy. And I look forward to seeing the two of them team up with something a little bit more, with more meat on it.
Yeah. This reminds me of, kind of reminded me in the sense of, like, a national security where you had Steve Zahn and Martin Lawrence, mm-hmm. kind of, the weird comedy of, just a weird mesh of comedy.
Yeah.
That's a funny movie too, but so check it out at some point. But there's no need to rush out, and obviously if you're listening to this now and haven't seen it, you have not rushed out to see it, so
yes,
good on you, I guess.
Yes, so let's jump into our 2015 summer movie preview. The summer movie season is about to get started, and 2015 is going to be a huge year for movies. And I would say three of the biggest ones are not even coming out in the summer.
Yeah.
In the fall, you're going to have Hunger Games, the final Hunger Games movie, James Bond, Spectre.
Spectre looks fucking phenomenal.
Spectre, and then, of course, the big daddy of all of them, Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh, is that coming out this year?
Yeah, that comes out in December. But the summer movie season actually is going to kind of kick off very low-key. There's a small indie film that's coming out on May 1st, and it is called Avengers Age of Ultron.
I think it's
Spanish. I'm pretty sure it's Spanish. Yeah, the sequel to Avengers is coming out May 1st, and you would probably think it was an indie film trying to, hustle for attention with all the commercials Marvel's putting
Jesus.
Out.
Jesus.
I mean, they are so desperate. It's like
five
it's sad.
Trailers. And
it's so sad. And you're just like, you're like, you do know this is the sequel to the third highest grossing movie of all time.
Everyone's going to see it.
People are going to see it.
And no one lives under an actual rock. So everyone's heard of it and knows it's coming. It's okay.
I mean, I understand you got to do the promotion. I understand that.
I just don't understand the marketing behind it.
Like, it's just like all the clips. Oh, it's behind the scene clips and blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Just show me the movie. I don't care about all this crap.
What buzz are you creating? You know?
Yeah, what buzz that already isn't there? Right. There, it's also with Marvel. Like, I mean, I already have my ticket. I mean, I'm excited. I really want to see this movie, because as Matt pointed out to me, he's like, they've really only shown like 5 minutes of a 2.5 hour movie. I'm like, that's a good point, but the advertising is kind of obnoxious. But the other thing with Marvel is that it almost feels like anticlimactic because we know what comes next.
Right.
And it's like, that kind of takes, it kind of sucks some of the joy out of it a little bit. But
you know, you could say that about anything that's adapted from something you've read or seen before.
Yes and no. I mean because, you know, with the comic book movies, they don't have to adapt the actual stories.
Well, that's true.
They just need the characters. So it's like, they could really go anywhere with it. Like what Christopher Nolan did with Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he could go anywhere with it. So it's like, you know, that's what made the anticipation for Dark Knight Rises. You're like, oh my God, you know.
But in this case, they are following a storyline. Like next one coming up
will be Civil War, right?
Civil War, and then, you know.
Right, well, that is. But this one, then you got, there is, you know, a story called Age of Ultron, but it's not really based on, like, this movie isn't based on that story.
Right, you're right. This is just the title of the movie.
Right.
They got Ultron.
In case you have been living under a rock, basically, if you saw Captain America Winter Soldier, you know that, and if you watch S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV, which is actually getting really good lately with the Inhumans and all that stuff, but S.H.I.E.L.D. was destroyed, Hydra was inside of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it basically blew it apart, so now the Avengers are kind of like free agents now, and Tony Stark basically funds the Avengers, which is kind of how it was in the comics when they first started, and they didn't sign up with the government until like later.
Which S.H.I.E.L.D.? I don't know.
What?
Because they're two shields right now.
I know. So, spoiler alert for those of you who are catching up on S.H.I.E.L.D. So, what happens is that...
One of them's really good at algebra.
Yeah. Nice. So, I hate you. Shut up. I just got what you're saying. I hate you. How do I help these kids?
How do I help these kids?
He needs to say that at least once on one of the episodes.
He does say that.
Actually, no, what he needs to say is, so say we all.
So, yeah, of course.
So anyway, getting back to the Avengers, you know, the big movie. So Tony Stark is big on finding a way the Avengers can basically take a break or whatever, you know, from saving the world or whatever. So he develops this AI in conjunction with what he already has with Jarvis. And it's called Ultron. The AI basically goes rogue. And all hell breaks loose.
It determines that the reason for all the problem is
humanity.
Humanity.
Yeah. So, yeah. And also introduced are going to be Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. This is a different Quicksilver from the one you met in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, very, very different.
Because Marvel and Fox but have the rights to both those characters.
It's weird. Really weird.
So Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, while in the X-Men universe, it is correct that they are the kids of Magneto.
The offspring of Magneto.
Of course, I think in the comic books they've changed that now because of the movies. It's so fucking stupid. Huh. I think they have done that. But in this world, the MCU, they will not be.
They're probably just...
I think they were created by Baron von Strucker, who was in the
tag at the end of... Oh, is that how they're
going to
play that off?
Yeah, because that's Avengers,
right.
Or, I mean, Captain America.
Yeah, Winter Soldier.
So, and then there's... It looks like from the trailer they're going to have some Black Widow origin stuff going on and stuff like that, which is cool. They showed some of that, a little bit of that on Peggy Carter showing, Agent Carter, back in the 40s. They showed some of the Black Widow program and stuff like that. So I think they're going to explore that some more. From the movie has already gotten a premiere. Critics have already seen it. They haven't put any reviews yet, but all the tweets that came out are, they say it's fantastic.
I'm sure.
And they actually say Hawkeye is actually the best character in the whole thing.
I heard that they give him some big props.
So that's cool, because
that's good. Because that's Jeremy Renner's a great actor.
Yeah.
He's been kind of
underserved
and really overshadowed by the bigger characters.
Right.
Because, I mean, as my friend and I, as we talked about, I mean, like SNL and Robot Chicken kind of get it right when it comes to Hawkeye. It's like, well, I can only fit 11 arrows in here, so.
Exactly. So, you know, it's going to be the biggest movie of the summer, hands down. I mean, I don't think anything will compete with it.
No.
I think what you might end up seeing is a Hunger Games, Guardians of the Galaxy type thing, where Avengers will be the top movie for the year, but then come early next year, Star Wars will, I think, overtake it. Because Star Wars comes out, you know, 2 weeks before the end of the year, so they're not going to make $1 billion in 2 weeks. So over January and February, Star Wars will pad its total, and then it'll
buy. Everyone sees Marvel movies, but everyone will see Star Wars. I mean, that's just got a different status altogether.
Yeah. So. And it's you when you have the original three.
Yeah, back, exactly right. This isn't like some, you know, some completely original thing. I mean, this has got fucking Luke and Han and Leia in it. Come on.
I'm going for Chewie because I want to see how his TV show has affected his role in Star Wars. Do you see that on the Nerdist? Chewie. Chewie, 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 Chewie.
Fucking Chewbacca getting a slice of pizza.
He
gets up off stage, he's like,
It's basically Chewbacca in they substitute Louis C.K. for Chewbacca in the opening to Louis, and it's called Chewie. It's hilarious.
It's very funny. It would have been more funny had it not been done already with the whole Lincoln thing.
Yeah, like that was hilarious.
But this was still extremely funny.
So let's move on from Avengers. Avengers is going to make
going to make money. It's going to be good.
One other thing.
I'm looking forward to Vision. Ultron's great, but Vision.
Yes.
Paul Bettany, and that's what I want.
And he is the first real clear look at him.
I don't even want to see it. I know I'm going to see it, but I don't want to see it.
Was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, and he looks great. I mean, he looks great. But I am glad that Ultron is in this because, you know, Marvel doesn't have any good villains.
Right.
Red Skull disappeared. And then you have Loki, and that's it.
Disappeared. They kind of fucked him up. I mean, I didn't think it was they'd serve that justice in the Captain America.
Oh, no, I thought he was good. I thought he did a good job. The problem is just that they didn't take him anywhere after that. So, it's going to be nice to have another great villain along with Loki, hey, let's have an Avengers movie that doesn't involve Loki for once. You know, I mean, he was in all the Thor movies. He's in this, he's in that. He's, you know. So, anyway.
Thor.
So anyway, the week after Avengers, you've got the team up with Sofia Vergara and Reese Witherspoon, which I'm sure will be a cute little comedy.
Yeah, well,
the trailer looks funny,
more or less.
Yeah,
I have a feeling, I have a bad feeling that that's all the funny parts.
Probably it's called Hot Pursuit.
Hot Pursuit.
Check out the trailer because we're not going to spend any time on it, but it looks like it could be cute.
Pretty innocent type of movie, probably.
The week after that, which, and these are all tentative dates, by the way, that were, you know, because they can all change at the drop of a hat. The ones in May are pretty solid, but once you get to August, stuff can move around fluidly. Mad Max, Fury Road.
Fury Road, baby. I'm so looking forward to it.
Comes out August 15th. The only thing I'm afraid of with that is that I know they have, we recently found out Tom Hardy's locked up for 3 movies for that to be Mad Max. He's excited for it. The movie visually looks phenomenal.
Really, I mean, it really does. If you haven't seen the trailer for it yet,
the latest trailer looks incredible. Amazing. The only thing I'm worried about is it's going to get swept up in Avengers. You know,
I mean, I don't expect it to do some great box office numbers, but I still think it'll be a really good, like, just a fun movie.
Oh no, I think it'll be good. I'm just worried about
box office wise. I think
I think they should have moved it to June or even in the fall maybe. I mean, it's like,
it seems,
because Mad Max is more of a cult.
It seems more like a fall type of thing. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to.
It's been delayed forever.
They're trying to build it up because they did get the A-listers,
yeah,
the stars here for it, and
Tom Hardy, Nicholas Holt,
and obviously, like you mentioned, visually they got the scope of this world and you know the vastness of it, even from the you know the minimalistic idea you get of what the story is. On screen. Well, let's face it, the Mad Max is the story is pretty. Typically, pretty simple story,
right?
When it comes to Mad Max, but you know, again, if you're not, this is George Miller. He's doing this as well. Like
he did the first three.
He's back for this one, so this is the original creator coming back. So it should be.
And if I would say
done justice,
I would say if you've never seen Mad Max, the only one I would say you really have to go back and watch is Road Warrior, which is the second one.
Right, you're right, but I'd say. They're all fun in their own right, and all cultish. I mean, you got you
Master know, Blaster,
the Master Blaster, anti-entity. Ah, Tina Turner.
But, we don't need another hero. That's Beyond Thunderdome, which is the third
two
one.
Two men into one man leaves.
But Road Warrior is much like Star Wars. Is the second movie and the best movie.
Yeah.
So
you have Mad Max, you have Road Warrior, and then you have Beyond Thunderdome. That's the series.
And now this is Fury Road.
This is Fury Road.
And we'll see what happens with this. I'm assuming it picks up after that, or it could be a complete reboot.
I don't even know. Yeah, I have no idea.
From what I understand, the whole movie is basically a 90-minute chase sequence, and they said there's little to no dialogue in it. So that could turn some people off, too. So I'm hoping it does well, because I do want to see future installments of it.
Yeah.
But
if it's 90 minutes of what I've seen in the trailer,
I mean, I'm definitely in to see it. It's just I'm just worried that it's going to get swept up in the wake of Avengers.
It will, and to an extent, you know, it is a little avant-garde, you know, the style of picture. But you know, I've always enjoyed the Mad Max movies, but I'll be the first to admit they are very specific, very cultish, and most people will watch Mad Max or any of those Road Warrior or whatever and just be like, eh.
Yeah. Charlize Theron is also in it. She plays, I think she plays the villain technically, but, I don't know if that's even true or not.
No, I don't think so. I thought the villain is, who's the kid in it?
Nicholas Holt?
Yeah, Holt.
He worked for her.
Oh, no, I thought he was the villain.
I saw a picture where they were in the same car together.
Oh, I thought he was the main villain.
Yeah, see, I don't know. See, that's the thing. We really don't know much about it, because the trailer doesn't really explain much. But it should be cool. It looks really cool. The week after that, you've got Disney's new movie, and this is a movie I'm really looking forward to. It's called Tomorrowland, and this is coming out on the 22nd of May.
George Clooney.
George Clooney's the lead in it. Britt Robertson, who was in Under the Dome, she's in it. She's the lead character. But the real draw for me is that it's co-written and directed by Brad Bird, who did Iron Giant, The Incredibles, Ratatouille.
All those fun, great Disney animated movies.
And he also worked on The Simpsons for a long time. That's where he cut his teeth. And his most recent movie was Mission Impossible 4, which kind of re-energized.
Ghost Protocol, which was good movie.
Yeah, kind of that was his first live-action movie. This is his second one. A lot of people were pointing to Brad Bird saying he should be directing Star Wars Episode 7, but he said, no, I want to do this. This is more of an original project. I'd rather do this. It looks really cool.
It does. We've only seen like a teaser trailer for it thus far, but it's very interesting.
George Clooney plays a scientist of some kind, and he's somehow connected to this girl played by Britt Robertson. And there's like this other world, almost like another dimension almost, which is like a futuristic world called Tomorrowland. And it is based on Tomorrowland, which is a part of the Disney park.
Yeah, it's not its own park, but it's
a section of Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes the only reason why that makes me a little wary is because I was not a big fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. But this is a completely different creative team. Damon Lindelof is also involved. You know, say what you want about him. I did enjoy Lost. And I liked what they did on The Leftovers on HBO. So he was involved with that as well. A lot of people blame him for the problems with Prometheus. Personally, I think that's more Ridley Scott's fault than anything else. There's problems. Michael Fassbender is not one of them, but it has problems. probably is that it was connected to Alien at all. That was probably the biggest problem.
The problem for me is that they said it wasn't, and then clearly it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they tried to bill it as it. Anyway, we've talked about that a million times.
Anyway, and also involved with this was Entertainment Weekly's Jeff Jensen. He had some input on the story, which is interesting. They claim, I'm doing air quotes here, they claim that they had a mystery box or something that was Walt Disney's, and there was all this crazy crap in the box, and they used it as inspiration for this movie.
What's in the box?
There's also a Marvel comic called Sentry that they said was an old Stan Lee creation, and that turned out to be a lie as well. So,
but the movie
looks good.
Great.
The movie looks great. I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see George Clooney in like kind of like a blockbuster movie because he hasn't done those.
Yeah,
that long
well, time. I mean, we'll assume it's going to be a blockbuster. It's Disney and
Clooney. Oh yeah, I mean it's a big budget.
But we honestly no idea what it's really about.
Right.
I mean, we've gotten a 30-second taste of it, but no idea what the plot line is or really anything like that.
The week after that is Aloha, which is a movie we saw the trailer for and
Cameron Crowe
instantly fell in love with. Yes, Cameron
Crowe
looks
great.
Writer and director, he did Jerry Maguire and
Almost Famous.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He was the writer on that.
Yeah.
So this is his latest movie. It stars Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence. I mean Emma Stone. And
and John Krasinski.
John Krasinski's in it. Rachel McAdams.
Bill Murray.
Alec Baldwin's in it.
I mean,
it's a stacked cast. Danny McBride's in it as well.
Yeah.
The trailer, basically what happens is that, based on the trailer, Bradley Cooper is a disgraced former, Air Force guy.
Yeah.
And his old boss, who's played by Bill Murray, calls him back to their old assignment in Hawaii, in Hawaii. And he goes, and then he's got an old girlfriend there, who's played by Rachel McAdams and all this stuff. And then he meets the Air Force liaison, who's played by Emma Stone, and they make
she's
a connection.
She's kind of assigned to him.
Right. And they make a connection, so it looks like it to be a nice adult movie summer.
Yeah, I mean, if you know anything about Cameron Crowe, look at Almost Famous. It looks like it's basically taken a lot of the same steps there.
Yeah.
A very adult-themed, toned plot line here.
Right.
It's, a lot... It seems to be, a lot about forgiveness and moving on.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the whole Aloha thing. Hello, goodbye.
Exactly.
That's
It looks really good.
It really
good.
Does. I mean, even in the trailer, you start, tearing up a little bit. You're like, oh, my God.
I'm actually surprised it's actually coming out in the summer. And I hope it is a wide release to start. I hope it's not one of these limited releases, and then we got to wait till
I would hope not, especially give us Cameron Crowe. Yeah. Come on.
But this looks like it would be like an Oscar movie type thing.
It so really, really does.
That's why I'm surprised it's coming out in May. But then again, Grand Budapest Hotel was March last year, and it got nominated, and so there you go.
But yeah, Aloha is definitely one to put on your radars. It looks really good.
Yeah. Unless you're like 15.
right.
You don't care about that
shit. It's not going to matter at all.
Now we're getting into June. June 5th, there's two comedies coming out, two vastly different comedies. One I've actually seen already. I saw an early screening of this one, and it is fucking hilarious. This is Melissa McCarthy's new movie with Paul Feig, or Paul Feig. I don't know how you say his name.
Feig. Maybe it's Feig.
I don't know
that I've ever actually heard the name said.
That's right. Huh. He is the director of Bridesmaids and The Heat.
Also
the new Ghostbusters movie. Yeah. And this movie is called Spy, and it is so freaking funny. I'm actually going to go see it again when it comes out.
Well, yeah, you are, because you're going to have to see it with me, because I didn't see it. I was too busy seeing John Cougar Mellencamp.
That's right, yeah, you're right.
It was great.
He wasn't as good as this movie.
It was great.
Like, the effects were not finished yet. There was a scene where they're on a plane where you can tell they have to clean up the digital effects, stuff like that. So, and, like, I think they said some coloring might have been off on it and sound effects. But it was hilarious. It was so good.
You said Statham kind of steals the show in this one, right?
Jason Statham is in this, and he totally steals the show. He is hilarious.
I look forward to that.
Rose Byrne is in it. Jude Law, Allison Janney. It's a fantastic cast.
I love the trailer with... If you haven't seen the trailer, it opens up like a serious type of spy movie.
Yeah, like James Bond.
Like a James Bond. Jude Law's got his gun pointed at the villain, and then he sneezes and actually shoots the guy.
Shoots him in the fucking head. Yeah, so basically the story is that Melissa McCarthy plays an analyst at the CIA, and of course, as is typical of it basically parodies it, there is some James Bond elements to it, but it mainly parodies more, I would say, the Jason Bourne, Mission Impossible,
Sure.
more modern spy movies. And as usual, as in those movies, especially the Mission Impossible movies, because it seems like in every Mission Impossible movie, they're like, they got the list of the agents again. It's like, this is like from the
Oh,
first
right.
movie,
Yeah.
on. That's what happens. So they need to send in an unknown quantity, and they send in Melissa McCarthy's character as an agent. And it's not like she's a bumbling idiot. She's hyper competent. Like, she was like great when she went to training and stuff like that. So it's like, this is kind of like what she was born to do, but she doesn't have the confidence and stuff like
Right.
that. But
Or the physique.
right. And but it is hilarious. It is so good. And I've kind of found that with Melissa McCarthy, like, she does one good movie, one bad movie, one good movie, one bad movie. And Tammy
Which,
was,
well, Tammy was great, so I'm surprised this one
yeah,
wasn't good.
Tammy was
Oh.
fucking abysmal. And we went to go see that. A friend had a birthday party, and it was at a movie theater, and it was either Transformers 4, which we had already seen, or Tammy. We were like, oh my God, I guess we have to see Tammy. And it was not good.
Very good.
But anyway, so the spy looks great. It is great. I've seen it, but definitely check that out on the 5th.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Also coming out that day is the movie that nobody really asked for, which is the Entourage movie.
I never watched the show, so I don't have any interest in seeing the movie, unfortunately. It would just fall on deaf ears for me,
The
let's, you know.
yeah, and it's not, well, I was gonna say it might not be like an X-Files situation where you can go see the movie and just, all right, fine, great. Because it looks like it does play a little bit into the history of the TV show. The last few seasons of Entourage were garbage, because the first few seasons were good because it showed, what happens when you're trying to make it in Hollywood. Well, then he makes it in Hollywood, and then nothing bad ever happens to them ever again. And it's just like, it's just all a bunch of masturbatory bullshit, you know? And I'm hoping that the movie is going to be more like the early days of the show, but I'm betting it's probably be more like the later sh the
Yeah,
years of the
they don't
show.
really. The trailers are interesting because, and they're doing what they probably should do. The trailers are playing off of the nostalgic aspect
Yeah.
of hey, you're sh this show's coming back. They give zero plot like of what is actually
Well, no, they
gonna
give
be
some plot.
happening. I mean,
It
they
looks
say
like
some moving away or
Adrian Grenier, who plays Vinny Chase.
well, he's got that new role.
Yeah, he's got a new movie that he is working on, and it's over budget. Ari is now the producer,
Yeah.
who was his agent. He might still be his agent now. I never saw the finale of Entourage because by that point I didn't give a shit. Johnny Drama's back in it again. He's Vinny's brother. And then E and Turtle, they're all in it. All the whole gang's back. Lloyd is back. It looks funny. There's like a ton of cameos in it.
Yeah, I have no doubt it could very well be funny, but it for me,
I mean, yeah.
there's no point in someone who
For
hasn't watched Entourage, what's the point?
yeah, for my money on the 5th, I'm gonna go see
Sure.
Spy again first
Oh,
before I
wow,
even go
yeah.
see
You know,
Entourage.
and the trailer, to be fair, the trailer for it does look funny because the way they do the trailer, where it,
Yeah.
like they start the trailer
They
off
make you
like it's
think,
a, like it's an actual movie,
it's the movie within the
and then
movie.
they're like, and then they're like from the producers of Aquaman,
Yeah, because he played Aquaman in the show. And that was like a joke. Like, it was James Cameron's Aquaman. Now it's not so funny because now Jason Momoa is Aquaman.
That was like back then it was like
It was a joke.
what's a superhero we could pick that would never work as a movie? I know, we'll pick Aquaman, and now
Week after that, because this is the summer and it's a weekly barrage of movies. The week after that is Jurassic Park 4,
yeah,
which they're calling Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, yeah.
I was really excited for this movie when I saw the first trailer, and now I've seen the first clip from the movie, and I wasn't very impressed. This is
I'm still very
it
excited.
was a scene involving Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt,
Right.
and the jokes just kind of fall flat, and I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, I
I'm sure you read about it with Joss Whedon and how he was not happy with
No,
it.
yeah, 'cause he says it's kind of misogynistic a little
He said
bit.
it was very sexist, like 70s sexist.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. I'm still looking pretty
I
forward to
still
it. I
want to see
saw where
the,
they had the
yeah.
they released a kind of a poster, an image that had what ended up being as part of the image, but it ended up being like an RC code, and if you scanned it took you to a page of God Creates Dinosaurs. by Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Oh,
so
nice.
it hints to the fact that Jeff Goldblum will probably reprise his role as Dr. Malcolm in some form in this movie, which would be pretty cool. Neat.
Yeah, the movie takes place, it's like 20 or something years after Jurassic Park, and now the park, it's John Hammond's dream has come true. Now it is a fully functioning park.
As if that would ever happen after what happened in the other movies. Like, that would ever come to
fruition. His company, InGen, I guess, has been absorbed by another global company, and they've got it up and running, and everything's working great. It's called Jurassic World.
And, spoiler alert, everything is not working great.
Well, no. It is working great. But what happens is, I think I read in Entertainment Weekly, they said what's happening is, like, ticket sales are declining now, because people, we've seen the dinosaurs, so what?
It's a one-time thing.
And so now what they start doing is tinkering in the lab, and then hybrid dinosaur gets on the loose, and all hell breaks loose. B.D. Wong
reprises
his role from the original movie as one of the doctors, one of the scientists who helped make
apparently create the dinosaurs. Hasn't aged at all.
I know, he hasn't. Weird. And Chris Pratt, as I said,
I thought he was reprising his role as a... psychologist from SVU.
No.
Oh, okay.
So, Chris Pratt, as we said, is the lead character in it. He is, looks like he's basically playing a more dickish Star-Lord. And Bryce Dallas Howard is one of the people in it. She's like one of the
corporate people. She'll be one of the scientist-y people.
Yeah, she's probably one of the corporate people, it looks
like.
Oh,
is she a corporate?
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I can see that.
And Ty Simpkins, a little kid who was in Iron Man 3. He is in it. They get into some trouble, and he and his brother, I think, and
little scamps.
Scamps. And we'll see. We'll see how it is.
I'm still looking forward to it. It's not like it's crazy high on my list, like Avengers or Star Wars or anything this year.
Right.
But it's still up there. I'm really looking forward to it.
That same week is a movie that Dirty Eye just showed the trailer to him. It's an indie film. It was a hit at Sundance. It's called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and it
looks really good.
It stars a young cast. It's got Olivia Cooke is in it from the Bates Motel, and she plays a girl who is diagnosed with leukemia. And the main character is played by Thomas Mann, and he basically his mother. He's like an awkward teen. And he doesn't have many friends, or he's afraid to call people his friends because he doesn't want the emotional connection, basically. He keeps everybody at arm's length.
Yeah.
Even his best friend, Earl, who he makes these shitty... these shitty faux films. Sweet films, you know, like... when they say that they sweeted the trailer. It's when people do, like, homemade shit.
I was thinking that movie, Rewind.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah, just like that, yeah. It's kind of like that, yeah. So it looks to be like a real heartwarming movie, kind of like, I would say, kind of like The Fault in Our Stars of this summer.
Fault in Our Stars, yeah.
But maybe funnier. It looks like there's more comedy.
Yeah, they better be funnier.
It looks like there's more comedy.
What was the other one that I'm thinking of? Spectacular Now kind of feel, maybe?
Yeah. So definitely check that out if it's playing in your area. I'm sure that'll be a limited release from the start.
Yeah.
But it looks great, and it got a great reception at Sundance. The guys on Collider were basically like, you know, it sounds like it's a very quote-unquote precious movie, and it's like, you know, saccharine and stuff like that. They said don't buy into that. It's excellent. It's really, really good. The week after that is actually possibly the movie I'm looking forward to most this summer, which is Pixar's Inside Out.
This looks so cute.
We've seen some trailers for it. Some footage was screened somewhere, and the reports are basically that Pixar is back. They did Brave, which was just kind of eh. They did Cars 2, which was a piece of shit.
I mean, Brave. I think Brave was a little.
It got too Disney-fied.
It was kind of exploratory for them too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was they were trying to tread into new, something a little different.
Yeah, that. And it wasn't a bad movie. It didn't have that Pixar magic.
But this does. This looks like Pixar front to back.
Yeah,
it looks so fun.
It's about a little girl and the emotions are anthropomorphized in her head, in everybody's head.
It's her mom,
her dad. You know, they show their emotions. And
when we say show their emotions, like personified in their head, like
right.
there's anger.
It's played by Lewis Black.
Yeah, sympathy or
no, there's sadness, which is Phyllis from The Office.
Happiness.
No, well, yeah, joy is Amy Poehler. She's the main character.
Yeah.
Nervous is Bill Hader.
Bill Hader.
And disgust is Mindy Kaling. So basically, it's all the old Must See Thursday people are back. With Bill Hader Saturday Night Live and Lewis Black as anger. And I think what happens is that the story goes, it's kind of plays on Finding Nemo a little bit. Sadness and joy get lost somewhere in like her mind or
psyche
something like that.
Kind of thing,
yeah. Yeah, and they got to find their way back to basically the control room. The one trailer where they have,
it's called Puberty.
Yeah, the one trailer where they have the parents trying to deal with their daughter and their emotions going back.
And the dinner table,
is
yeah.
So it's so funny. I mean, it was great. It was such a great, great trailer. And it sold me on this movie. And I was like, this looks like it could be another home
really
run.
Funny, yeah.
And getting Pixar back on track. They have another movie coming out that's a troubled production. It's supposed to come out in the fall. It's called The Good Dinosaur. We'll see if that stays on track. You probably haven't seen much of it yet. Well, a first trailer I would think would probably be with Inside Out, and hopefully that'll stay on track for release this fall. But yeah, Inside Out looks like to be a real winner, and I'm really looking forward to that because I love Pixar's movies.
It looks good, and they're I wouldn't say they've had a lot of marketing with it yet, but they're doing it pretty smart. Like
yeah.
they're kind of introducing you to all the characters individually.
Right.
They have like individual posters and stuff.
Right.
It looks really cute. I think it's going to be a fun, family-friendly movie, just like you said, just kind of classic Pixar type of stuff.
At the end of June, a movie that Dirty A is really looking forward to. Because of
sarcastic or?
No, because of its discussions on the legal profession is Ted 2.
I am. I think it looks damn funny. And I enjoyed Ted a lot. Maybe more so than I should have. But I'm a Family Guy guy, so it makes sense that I would like it. But this trailer cracks me up every time I see it. Objection! Overruled. Sidebar.
Suitcase.
No, briefcase.
No, yeah, the trailer is funny. I liked Ted the first time I saw it. But the second time I saw it, it just felt lazy to me. Lazy. Like, kind of like not as bad as A Million Ways to Die in the West, but it just felt lazy to me. Like there was so many ways he could have gone with it, and he just went for like lowest common denominator shit with it. But I will say the trailer for this looks funny, even if it's fucking stupid beyond belief.
Which
Ted?
Oh, of course it could be.
Well, I know, but I mean,
it's a fucking talking teddy bear.
I know, but
what do you want?
The premise is that Ted needs to prove he's alive or something like that, or.
Right, like he's got married, and he and his wife are trying to have a baby, but legally, unless he's recognized as being
a person,
he can't have a baby. So it's him going on this apparently journey legally and other so to determine his worth, his societal worth,
which of course is bullshit because
listen. If the woman
wanted to have a baby, she could have a baby.
It's a movie about a fucking talking teddy bear, man. Stop trying to drag your actual legalese into this. What do you want?
It's stupid. Emila Kunis is even in it.
No, she's gone in this.
She's
moved on to some other...
To Jupiter.
She's ascended.
She ascended to Jupiter.
God knows.
That movie's terrible.
It's terrible that you bring it up again.
Good! Good! Look how the mighty have fallen.
I don't know. Who's the mighty in this scenario?
Mila Kunis.
Oh, okay.
She had the world at her fingertips. She got knocked up by that doofus, and now she's married to him and...
I like to have her at my fingertips.
Piece of shit movie.
Anyway. So yeah, Ted 2, I'm sure it'll make a profit. And won't be anything to write home about, but it should be funny.
July 4th weekend, the big movie that weekend is, it's actually a documentary. about Phil Collins and Genesis.
Mm-hmm. I see what you did there.
Oh, wait, no. It's Terminator Genesis. Oh, I know it's not about the band Genesis because they spelled it wrong. Right. They spelled it incorrectly with a Y.
I'm gonna put that Y in there. So they're kind of rebooting again. Not a classical reboot per se.
I don't know what the hell it is, but honestly.
The fact that they're putting the word Genesis in there is trying to let you know that they're going somewhere different with it. Yes, it has Arnold Schwarzenegger reprising his role.
Saying all the same tired catchphrases.
Yep. It's got who's the lady?
Amelia Clarke.
Amelia Clarke.
She plays Sarah Connor.
Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm sorry. Why did I say that? I don't know why I said that.
He's nowhere near this movie.
I'm sitting here in my head. I have Matt Smith in my head, and this Benedict Cumberbatch came out. Cause British, that's why. But no, Matt Smith, who any generation Y person's gonna know is the Doctor Who. He's got a role in this, which is kind of, we don't really fully know what his role is yet. But the idea is that they're gonna try to stop Judgment Day again,
even after the third movie where they said it's inevitable.
It's inevitable. But they're gonna stop.
Which was actually the best part of the third movie. I love that ending.
Right, they let you know that it's
gonna happen no matter what. It's
no matter what. There's nothing you can do to change it.
Jason Clarke plays John Connor in the future.
No, that's Benedict Cumberbatch.
He sends Jai Courtney back. He's Kyle Reese, and when he gets to the past, everything has changed. Don't tell me why it hasn't changed in the future already.
How would you not know?
It's already a time paradox, so okay.
Yeah.
But it looks like they just said, let's take Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 and smoosh them together and make a quote-unquote new movie.
And all this said, it still could be a very good action movie.
But the trailers have been really underwhelming.
Yeah, sort of underwhelming trailer. The bus flipping scene to me is just shaking my head bad because that just doesn't.
Well, they already did it.
Yeah, and I do like the scene where he jumps out of the helicopter and he's going to like use his body as basically a giant torpedo. I'm like, yes, that's what a fucking Terminator would do because he's indestructible.
Yeah.
Of course he would do something like that. Instead of using a gun.
Yeah, I mean, the bus flipping scene is they already did that in The Dark Knight. And you know what they used in The Dark Knight? A real fucking semi-tractor trailer to do it.
Yeah. But this, I mean, buses just don't do that.
Well, I mean, you could argue that, Batman did it.
You know what, Terminators don't exist either. So.
Exactly, yeah.
But, no, I'm not throwing away this movie yet. I still think it could be a good action movie. But it is getting a little tiresome with these movies.
Well,
like
it's because Terminator is really a world that didn't need to be further explored.
No, not at all. You
did Terminator 1, you did Terminator 2, and that's it. That's all you had to do.
It goes back to the whole, let's just get some original scripts out here, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get some fresh movies, for fuck's sake.
The week after that,
says the person who's looking so forward to Star Wars, he can't stand it.
Yeah, all right. That's different, because Star Wars has a story that you can continue.
Yeah, that's already an expanded universe.
Terminator is like, Terminator is, it's like, that's it.
Right.
Either you prevent Judgment Day or you don't.
Right.
The end. If you're going to do a Terminator movie, then you should do one, like they tried to do, I guess, with the Christian Bale one. They just fucked it up so bad.
Oh, man, that Salvation.
Because where they took place all in the future.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but then still, it was kind of like a prequel. It's stupid. The week after Terminator, Minions comes out. This is a movie I know you're not interested in because you've never seen
the
Despicable
other ones,
Me.
And I have no doubt that they're
funny.
You
went on the ride at Universal, though.
I have no doubt they're funny. I just, for whatever reason, haven't seen
them. The Minions are the best part of the Despicable Me movies. Steve Carell does a good job as Gru, but the Minions are the best part. And basically, this is a prequel movie, and it tells the story of how the Minions came into Gru's employ and the villains that they worked with prior to working with him.
And how they fuck them all over.
And back, basically. It looks cute. It has three main minions in it that are the focal point. And there's one part in the trailer that they put out. I think there's only been one trailer so far.
Just the one.
There was one trailer that is really, it's kind of heartwarming. It's a little cute. It's like they walk off into the distance to go do what they do. And then one of the minions holds the other minion's hand. They're like, oh, that's cute. So Courtney and I will see that. We don't need you.
We don't need
But no, Minions, that'll be coming out in July. Week after that, Marvel is back with Ant-Man.
Yep.
And this movie, we're expecting to see the next trailer probably.
I'm getting more excited with it for each kind of little tidbit.
Yeah, I mean, Ant-Man is, it looks like it's supposed to be more of a comedy than anything else.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely leaning, I mean, they cast Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, so of course.
And of course, Michael Douglas, who's a comedy genius.
You know, they kind of, yeah. but yeah, so clearly they, and that's not to say Paul Rudd can't play drama, straight, can't do a straight role, but clearly they're going to do this a little different, which is fine. We kind of need that, you know. It's, you know, the universe doesn't need to all be serious, right?
Well, they're not. I mean, that's the thing with the Marvel movies.
That's
the
what I'm saying.
Majority of them are all comedies.
Well,
this, the most serious thing they got now is Daredevil.
it's trying to steer away from that, right?
Yeah.
But I say, you know, I hope it works. It's a lot of controversy around this movie and the production of this movie. I got real disheartened once
Edgar Wright
left. That just about killed me, and I was just about to give up on it. But you know, it's still got. I'm sure it's certainly it'll still have a box office draw because it's got Marvel attached to it.
Yeah,
and it's gonna connect to the larger universe.
Right,
like we've talked about at the opening of this podcast here. The images that they just released of
Yellow Jacket.
Of, yeah.
Corey Stoll.
Corey Stoll as Yellow Jacket. I mean, they look pretty badass.
Yeah. So. That same week is the movie Pan, which has Hugh Jackman as Blackbeard. It's almost like a prequel, I guess, to Peter Pan.
Whatever.
Captain Hook is friends with Peter Pan or something like that.
Whatever.
It looks weird. I'll check it out, but I don't know how good it's going to be.
Doug, I've told you once, I've told you a thousand times. He's not going to play Wolverine.
He might.
He's not going to play Wolverine.
He might.
In Pan.
He might.
He's done playing Wolverine.
No, he's not.
One more role, he's done playing Wolverine.
I know, we didn't even talk about
that. I know, that's right. If we'll cut this off a little bit. If you didn't know, within about 2 weeks ago now, Hugh Jackman kind of spilled the beans in an interview that...
It was on Instagram.
Was it Instagram? Yeah. Okay, yeah, that he's kind of done with Wolverine after his next movie.
Yeah.
That
Now, we don't know. We don't know what that means. We don't know.
Does it mean Apocalypse, or does it mean?
It means Wolverine 3. It definitely means Wolverine 3.
All right.
But we don't know if that means he's not going to be in Apocalypse.
Right.
And to be honest,
but
now
that was kind of already a done deal when he announced this. So
I guess
there's no reason to think that he wouldn't be, other than the fact
that now that
your original hypothesis is kind of disproven.
Concept art has come out now of Angel, and not just Angel, but Archangel, who was the Apocalypse Horseman of Death, and that kind of ruins the theory that
I found
on the internet, and I kind of bought into it. And it sounded like it was great that Wolverine might end up being Death. Yeah,
so that's not it. Looks pretty solid, but that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, so which kind of sucks, but we'll see. What happens.
I still think he'll probably be in the movie.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I mean, to be honest, with the team they're assembling, he should be in the X-Men. I mean, you've got fucking Nightcrawler, Cyclops,
else,
Storm, Jean Grey. You need Wolverine.
How can you
in
not?
The fucking movie.
Yeah. So unless they do one of his, he's on his one of his sabbaticals.
You know,
I don't know how they can not
put
him in there. But in any case, so I guess the next couple of years, we'll probably see some big news of the hunt for the new Wolverine.
Maybe. We'll see. I was listening to Collider.
That's a tough sell, man.
I was listening to Collider's podcast, and then they were talking about this, and they were like, "Well, maybe they'll take a break from Wolverine." Like, but who will fill? They're like, they said who will fill the hole, and who do you think they said? Fucking Gambit. Fucking Gambit.
Gambit, bitch.
But actually, Goldberg, and kudos to Matt Goldberg at Collider for this. He said, "You know what?" He goes, "I don't." He's like, "But comic book fans." He goes, "I don't think they like Gambit very much." And you're absolutely right. Comic book fans do not like Gambit.
You know who likes Gambit? Me.
Yeah, people who like the cartoon.
Yeah, me.
Yeah, whatever.
Suck a dick.
Who cares? That's what Gambit does. Magic Mike 2 comes out
this year. Okay, I'm not super stoked about the casting of Gambit, admittedly.
We saw the trailer for Magic Mike 2, and I turned to him, I'm like, there's Gambit.
There's your Gambit, buddy. About that, but I still like the character of Gambit.
Or whatever.
That's probably what they'll do for a while. But, I mean, inevitably, you're going
to have to recast Wolverine. Yeah, they'll have to recast
So,
Wolverine. getting back to our preview.
We after, like our tangents on the show, you know.
After Pan comes a movie that you might be going to see this week, Trainwreck.
Trainwreck, yeah.
This is Judd Apatow's next movie. He's working with Amy Schumer and Bill Hader. And
looks good. I mean, it looks pretty damn funny.
Yeah, it does. There's a screening. There was a screening, I want to say it's Sundance or something like that, maybe. And they said it was kind of like an incomplete version. I'm guessing
if you do go see
it next week, it'll be more of an incomplete
version. This comes out
July to end of July.
Yeah, end of July. So this is like, they're doing a free screening of it in Chapel Hill Tuesday. Wednesday.
April 15th.
Yeah. So
Tax Day.
So, but it does look funny. The reason why I may go see it, we have another screening that same day, and I'm kind of waffling because anyway, I don't know how long I need to wait in line to get in to see Trainwreck because they don't have tickets or anything.
Yeah.
It's just kind
of... The other movie is Age of Adeline that we're talking about.
And then the problem with that is I got really no interest in that movie.
See, my thing is this. Like, I'm going to go see Trainwreck anyway.
Doug, Harrison Ford is not playing Han Solo in Age of Adeline or Indiana Jones.
I'm going to go see Trainwreck anyway when it comes out. So I'm like, Age of Adeline, I probably wouldn't pay to go see anyway. Yeah. So I want to see the free screen.
Yeah, yeah.
But Trainwreck looks funny. And to be honest, I got to say, the person who looks like he might steal the show is LeBron James. Because he has some funny lines in the trailer. And he does. Because what happens is, he's playing himself. Right. Because Bill Hader's character is a sports...
Agent.
No. He's a sports surgeon.
That's right.
He's a doctor.
Sports medicine guy. Yeah. That's right.
And LeBron James plays himself. He's like, you better not... He goes, we're watching Downton Abbey tonight, right? I better not be going in the locker room. You better not screw me over. I don't want to go in that locker room. How the guy's talking about Downton Abbey. And he's like, you got down with her, huh? Sexual intercourse.
Yeah, it looks really funny. It looks pretty classic standard Judd Apatow.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's going to be 4 hours long.
So it'd probably be about 2.5 hours to 3 hours long. Oh, and it's going to be a mix of drama and comedy.
His movies are so long.
They are. They're a little, they can be tedious, but for the most part, I really enjoy them, so.
Also that day, Jake Gyllenhaal makes a complete transformation.
Wow.
Anton Fuqua's Southpaw, where he plays a boxer.
You haven't seen the images of that yet. I mean, this motherfucker gets cut for this movie.
Yeah. It looks to be like an Oscar-worthy performance for him. So that's one reason I definitely want to see it. So that comes out that same day.
Just because Jake Gyllenhaal has his shirt off most of the movie.
No, that's okay. That's okay. All right. And then also that day is Adam Sandler in Pixels. And this will probably be the first Adam Sandler movie that I might actually go see in a long time.
I mean, I've kind of...
Well, no, that's not... Well, because we did see Men, Women, and Children. He was in that.
Yeah,
but and that he did a good job in that. He did a good job at that.
But that wasn't an Adam Sandler movie.
But that wasn't an Adam Sandler movie. This is an Adam Sandler movie.
I've kind of got to go see it because it's just right in my wheelhouse of... 80s nostalgia, but...
It's directed by Chris Columbus, so that also makes it kind of diverting away from Adam Sandler's usual formula. It's based on, I think it was like an online short about if the video game characters came to life and started wreaking havoc in real life. The trailer was okay. The funniest part is when they introduce the creator of Pac-Man to Pac-Man. And of course, it was funny when Adam Sandler was like, Pac-Man's the bad guy? Because he's, like, eating up the whole city. And then, like, the creator goes up to him and he goes, My son,
you are good.
Look how big you are. You're so big.
And then
Pac-Man looks at him and he goes, he chomps off his arm. He goes, kill him.
It looks pretty
funny. It looks funny. Peter Dinklage is in it, and he looks like he's going to have a good time with that. But I was very disheartened because I thought the whole cast was basically going to be Adam Sandler, Josh Gad, and Peter Dinklage. And then in the trailer, we found out there's one more component to this cast. And his name is Paul Blart Mall Cop. Yeah. Kevin James is in this movie. And I'm like, oh, he's only box office poison. Yeah. So,
That guy really should stick with stand-up.
Or
his small... I mean, he was great in King of Queens. Like, small... He doesn't do the big screen well at all. Apparently he does because they keep giving him roles.
Yeah,
making
Paul,
money.
Paul Blart 2 comes out next week. So, and I'm sure it's gonna make money.
But anyway, yeah, this is right up my alley. Although, from a perspective of ages nostalgia, what I'm really looking forward to talking about Tangent is Ready Player One, which is the book adaptation
that
they just announced that Steven Spielberg will be directing.
Yeah.
And it's a great book.
That won't be for a couple
It's
years,
a great book, which I have read.
That's a lie.
I had Will Wheaton read it to me.
Oh, so you did the audio
book. I did the audio book, and it is a very fun story with, like, it's basically like a good sci-fi story that literally, like, references every bit of 80s nostalgia you can think of. So, yeah. But, anyway, I'm looking forward to that when that comes out in a couple years.
A couple weeks after Pixels, and now we're into August, and a couple weeks after Pixels comes out is the reboot of Fantastic Four. The trailer looked okay, but as we talked about when Matt was here, you can make anything look good in 2 minutes. The pictures that have been coming out have been very dark, but the thing looks good.
It looks good. The problem is we already know pieces of the story that are just already terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to... You can't change that.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with Fantastic Four.
DJ Doom spinning the rings. Might as well have done that.
We'll see what happens. Hopefully it'll be decent, but who knows?
Yeah.
The week after that, there's three movies coming out that same week. You've got Straight Outta Compton, which is
NWA's kind of autobiographical story of that group.
The trailers for that have looked great. And I'm not even that big a NWA fan.
I'm not either. You know,
but
me.
I'm very interested in seeing this movie.
It doesn't matter for me. It's not about the music. I love stories like this.
Yeah,
that are
biopics.
Yeah. That kind of just give me some background into that.
Yeah,
that
tell you something about somebody.
Yeah,
something you
then I don't know. Yeah, it's just but this does look just really good. I mean, and it's fun. It's funny to think about these guys that we know of today.
Yeah, Dr. Dre and Ice Cube.
Dr. Dre and Ice Cube that today are so straight-laced and they're like business guys and where they started from.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Also coming out that week is Masterminds, which I saw the trailer for just last week.
Looks pretty funny.
It's Zach Galifianakis and Kristen Wiig, and it's based on a true story, I believe, of these people who ripped off
to some degree, yeah,
like a Loomis place. Or I don't know if it wasn't a truck, but it was like
Canadian people.
I don't know, maybe so. It was like a storage facility or something, and they robbed all this money and stuff like that. And it looks really, really funny. It looks funnier than Pain and Gain, which was Michael Bay's movie from a couple years
that
ago.
That movie was something. It was a movie. That was the length of a movie.
And also that week is a movie that I'm looking forward to after I saw the first trailer. I wasn't sure how it was going to be. This is Guy Ritchie's adaptation of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, man, that trailer looked awesome.
Which stars Henry Cavill, who is Superman. And he plays Napoleon Solo, who's like a American CIA secret
agent.
And Armie Hammer plays, I forget the character's name, but he's like a Russian counterpart. And basically... U.N.C.L.E. is like this joint operation between the Russians and the
organization
Americans.
Of spies, yeah.
Organization of spies to take down, what are they called? I forget what they're called. They're not Spectre, that's James Bond.
No, I don't know what the evil organization is.
I don't know much about
This
poverty.
Is based on, by the way, an old like 60s
TV show.
Which seemed like an odd thing to do. So when we first heard about
it. It's been floating around for a while.
When we first heard about it, we're like, what? Why? The trailer
the trailer's
looks
really
great. Good. It looks like they're really doing some good production with this.
Yeah.
So, good stunts.
George Clooney was attached to it for a long time, and then he kind of dropped out of it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
And the last movie that I want to mention that is, as of right now, TBD in August, is a movie called Z for Zachariah, which looks really good. And just from what I've heard about it and just images, pictures from it and stuff like that, Margot Robbie plays, she's a woman who lives on a farm, and basically a nuclear event has basically decimated human population, and then two guys played by Chris Pine and Chiwetel Ejiofor come onto her farm, and a love triangle basically develops between the three of them, and for all they know, they're the three last people on Earth. They don't even know. So it looks to be a more dramatic version of Fox's Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth. That's a great show.
It is a great show.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Z for Zachary other than you mentioned it to me a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It sounds interesting, so yeah. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it moves into the fall, but yeah. Hopefully it'll stay in the summer, but if not, you know, we'll see it in the fall.
And
yeah.
I'll give one shout-out to one I missed that's
coming out in July. Magic Mike 2?
Magic Mike 2.
Double XL or whatever it's called.
The new Vacation reboot.
Yeah.
It's coming out in July, and it seems like it could actually have potential. This is Ed Helms is... It's going to play Rusty. So it's not really a reboot per se. It's just a continuing saga of the Griswold clan. So it's Rusty and his family, which is you got Christina Applegate and Ed Helms as the two leads there. And right there, they're funny. They can they can do comedy. So that you know gives you a sense of this could be done right. And, you know, then you will have cameos from Beverly D'Angelo and Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
They'll be kind of one of the pit stops along the way. But they just released some images from that movie within the past couple of days. And you know, this would normally be something that I would typically be against. Mm-hmm. Because I really love National Lampoon's Vacation. Like,
yeah.
That's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It is truly funny. And I know people love Christmas Vacation. I'm sorry.
Written by John Hughes.
Yes, written by John Hughes. And I'm sorry, but Christmas Vacation doesn't hold a candle to the original Vacation.
Directed by Harold Ramis.
Yes.
Right? Didn't you direct
it? Yes. But it's fine. I just don't understand the appeal to it other than, I guess, it's seasonal.
It's
more family-oriented.
It's the Indiana Jones Last Crusade versus Raiders of the Lost Ark thing. Yeah. A lot of people are like...
Love Last Crusade.
They love Last Crusade. It's like, no. Raiders of the Lost Ark is the best.
Clearly, Vacation is... It's the funnier movie. It's the more sophisticated humor movie. I mean, it's just hilarious. And
what an asshole.
Jeez, what a worm.
He knows we're coming, and he's not even here.
What a worm. poor dog. He probably kept up with you for a mile or two. And he just gave up. Well, gotta go. So anyway, so I'm actually, though, even though I hold that movie to such high regard, I think there's a good chance, given the cast and the way they're doing this, that they might actually be doing it justice and can, you know, continue that story. I mean, let's face it, it's not like Vegas Vacation was that great. You know, they still made that shit.
So yeah.
Papa Giorgio.
That's right.
But, so I'm looking forward to this. I'll give a little shout out here as to something that's on my radar.
A movie I'm not giving a shout out to is Pitch Perfect.
You just did. The irony of that statement is so thick. It's like molasses on my head.
Yeah,
and that disgusting too. Gross, like Pitch Perfect too. Yeah, that movie. I never saw Pitch Perfect, so it's hard for me to.
I saw it. It wasn't
okay. It's hard for me to really comment on whether it'll be good or bad. But from the trailers, it just looks like fluff.
Yeah, and I love her. I love Anna Kendrick.
Oh god.
But she's great. I cannot sit through that movie. I will not do it. Sorry, but usually when I do the preview, I have like movies I'm just like. Fuck no, and like there's really no fuck no's. I mean, except for Pitch Perfect too. I mean, but like
that's not really
directed towards me. And like, and Magic Mike, obviously I'm not gonna go see that. But
yeah,
but I mean,
well, that's good.
I think it's because Paul Blart is coming out next week instead of in the summer.
Oh, so. God, I don't understand why they're making that movie. Why
we literally saw that trailer a couple weeks ago and we just stone faced. Like we didn't even chuckle. We didn't even like snicker. We're just like.
Why
my soul is dying
inside. Why is this movie a thing? Why is this a thing? I don't understand.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. But that's it. That's our 2015 summer movie preview. Basically, to sum it all up, to sum up the last hour, let's sum it up. It's Avengers and then everything else, basically.
Avengers with other stuff sprinkled in.
Yeah. That movie's going to be a juggernaut. They're already predicting it's going to make over $200 million its first weekend. They're like, can it beat Avengers?
I don't even have any doubts. No doubts. We also forgot to mention at the top that it is official now. The Russo brothers are going to be doing
Avengers 3.
The Infinity Wars.
There you go again. We already know when Avengers 3 is coming out.
Avengers 3 and 4.
And 4. Well, no. Technically 3.1.
3.2. Dear God! You Harry Potter-ed us! Stop Harry Potter-ed us!
And they don't even need to.
No! It's so unnecessary. Just make it a part four. Why? Everything, it's all one storyline, technically. Yeah. So why, I don't know. Anyway.
I can tell you why they don't do that, but we'll wait till
That's some other side news there. But yeah, so it looks
It'll also be the writers from Captain America as well. They're also going to be doing that.
So, but anyway, it looks like a good summer. Not the greatest of summers, but...
Well, I mean, when you look at what was supposed to happen this summer, when it was supposed to be Star Wars, to be this summer, Batman, Superman was supposed to be this summer. You know, I mean,
it's a little bit of a deflated
sort of. I mean,
but at the same time, I spread that shit out.
Oh yeah. I mean, now you've got Star Wars coming out in December.
Although I'm not gonna lie, I really would have preferred my Star Wars in May.
It will be after this. In fact,
yeah.
I think Rogue One is actually going to be May, if I'm not mistaken. Next week, I think.
Which is the first spin-off movie.
Which looks like it's not going to be a prequel. Thank God.
Yeah. They don't.
Don't do any fucking prequels. You don't have to do any more prequels, ever.
We get it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it.
Anyway, that's a long-winded sign-off.
We will see you next time. Hopefully, next time we'll either be doing one of two things. We'll be discussing Ex Machina with Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson. And we'll also talk about While We're Young, which we just saw today. Or we'll be having Matt King here to discuss Daredevil, if he finishes it.
Spoiler alert, he will not.
But we will see you next time.
See ya.